Well, a desire and interest in your prayers and your attention today. I'd like to write a word on the board up here. Fellowship. I feel like the Lord inspired me with this word this week. And the more I think about it, the bigger the subject seems to get. So we'll see how far we can get this morning. Fellowship. It means companionship. It means a mutual association of persons on equal and friendly terms. It means an association, a confederacy, or a combination. A confederacy is a group or a union that works together for common goals. So I'd like to keep those definitions in mind as we look into this morning. And I'd like to consider fellowship from the perspective of levels of fellowship and responsibilities of fellowship. So sometimes the word fellowship can be used very broadly, and sometimes it can be used very narrowly. So I'll try to explain myself as we go along a little bit. We all, as humanity, whether we are extroverts or introverts, whether we're outgoing or kind of a recluse, it doesn't matter what our personality type is, we all have a certain amount of craving or desire for fellowship. You can be the most outgoing type person, and yet deep down you feel like you're missing out on real fellowship. And you can be someone that's very, other people might call you timid or shy or reserved or something like that, and yet you have a desire to have fellowship as well. All of us do. So as I consider that and realize that fellowship is not just talking about religious things. There are fellowships that have started because there was a common thread. One of our definitions said a mutual association. I believe, I don't know if you've ever thought of it like this, but I think some of our labor unions started with a fellowship. Some, you know, bricklayers, they all get together and they have a common problem maybe in their occupation, whether it's acceptance or a pay or approval or whatever it is. They have a common thing that they can get together and say, yeah, I've experienced that too. If you're a person that works in whatever field it is, you can get together with others and realize that you have some common experiences. If you're a homemaker and you have all of the duties of keeping the home in order and maybe children fed and clothed and cared for and all of that, you get together with other young mothers and there's going to be some common experiences. You know, you're going to see a similar thread, and that could be called a fellowship. You could have a fellowship of stay-at-home moms. You could have a fellowship of truck drivers or mechanics or whatever. You could have those kind of fellowships, and you get together, and there's something that you can relate to one another and feel one another's pain or experience the little joys or rewards that go along with having a common connection there. So I'd like to go to the book of Philippians and the first chapter, and I would like for us to read a few verses here in the first chapter of Philippians. I'd like to read verses beginning in verse 1, if I can get there. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 beginning, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, I didn't say this earlier, but in the scriptures, the word fellowship, for our English-speaking people, has been used in about 20 different locations, maybe a little bit less than that, but approximately. I'm not going to read all those verses to you. Some of them I feel like pertain to the thought, and some don't, so we'll read some of them. It says here in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I believe this is speaking of a companionship, a mutual association within the confines of the gospel. So just like we spoke just briefly earlier about different maybe lines of occupation or activities, and we have there's a sense of fellowship when we talk with someone else that does the same thing to produce a living, has the same kind of responsibilities. Maybe you're maybe you do volunteer work at homeless shelters or whatever it is. When you have a common, somebody else that has done some volunteer work at a homeless shelter, there's going to be experiences you have that maybe other people don't connect with readily, and you do. So this here says, he's talking about a fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So today we would say something like, it's church fellowship. And we hear things like fellowship dinner, or fellowship hall, or fellowship activity, you know, whatever it is, we hear the word fellowship connected with it. And it's really kind of a superficial thing because, in some respects, because we want other people to come and be part of and experience fellowship, don't we? We want somebody, I'm thankful since we have been part of this congregation. What I've witnessed is if somebody comes into our assembly and is here for the first time, they never get out the door without somebody, at least somebody, maybe every somebody that's here, they speak to them. I think it's a remarkable and a very applaudable thing. Why do you do that? Well, we want people to realize that we're friendly, right? There's a scripture that talks about that in Proverbs, in the 18th chapter and the 24th verse. I think it says something like, a man that hath friends, doesn't it? Let's read that. Let's go to Proverbs 18 and 24, I believe. And notice here, he says, there's a man that hath friends must shew himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So, a man that hath friends. We want people to feel like there's some level of fellowship just because they came. I do. If somebody comes in, it doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter what their background is. It doesn't matter if they come from across the street or across the other side of the county. When they come in, I want them to feel like the people here made them feel welcome. And I believe we have over the years. I've witnessed some of you that I might consider more backward or more timid will be some of the very ones that speak to the stranger and say, introduce yourself or tell them we're glad they came. Or I think it's a marvelous attribute to have as a congregation. There's not just one person. It's everybody seems to work together. There's a common, what do you want to call it? A policy or a practice? Or it's just like everybody's got it. And that's a wonderful thing to have. And in the scripture we started out with here in Philippians is Paul is writing here, and he's writing with Timothy, and maybe Timothy's actually doing the writing, I don't know. But he said here, he's addressing the congregation at Philippi, and he says, verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. He's happy to, the thought of these folks in Philippi brings a joy to him. Just like you all bring a joy to me. And he says in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I want us to always cultivate that thing of if a stranger is here, we put them first. We don't know them, but we try to make some kind of connection. Why? Because we want them to come back. We want them to feel like there's an association, companionship, there's a mutual something here that they can connect. Well, I met this one and I met that one, and there maybe we even share with them something we do outside of the service. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Go back to those other things we talked about. I'm a truck driver. I work with my hands in this respect, or I work in this field or that field. Maybe there's a connection that could be made, but we want them to associate. There's people over there that can relate to me in my everyday life, but yet there's a fellowship there that is centered around the gospel. That's what Paul said here. He said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm thankful for the personal contacts that we have here in this building today between us, the things that we can help one another with and we can relate to one another with. But more than that, I'm thankful for from the first day until now, there's a fellowship that we can have that's connected with and through the gospel because we come to service together. We have a common cause. We have a confederacy here, if you will. A confederacy is a group that works together for a common goal. All right? So let's take this a little bit further. Let's go to the second chapter of Philippians. And I want to read here beginning in verse 1. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. Remember, he's writing to the same people, okay? We didn't move to a different book of the Bible, or he's still talking to the same congregation, same people. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. So the first verse says, if therefore be any consolation of Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. So it's, I want to take our fellowship thought here a little to a little different level. It's one thing to feel like that we met somebody that's friendly. It's one thing to feel like we met somebody that's interested in me because of who I am, of what I am. And it's another thing to have a level of fellowship of, what did he say? Fellowship of the Spirit. And the word Spirit is capitalized, so we have to feel like he's talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So, the next level of fellowship we want to have with somebody that's a new contact, that's a stranger that comes in our midst, we want them to feel like we're interested in them just because they're a person. All right? That's layer one of fellowship. But layer two, the fellowship that we want to have, is that there's a fellowship that goes to the level of the Spirit of the Lord. You know, it rejoices me to find someone that wants to talk about the Scripture, but not just talk about the Scripture from a combative point, but to what the Scripture means to them and how it helps them. And you begin to realize that there's the Spirit of the Lord that's working there. There's a level of fellowship there that's more than, hi, my name is whatever. There's more than that. So this fellowship of the Spirit is something that maybe we would call a deeper church fellowship than just the superficial. Okay? It should be, or the origin of our fellowship, our church fellowship, should be a fellowship of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God ought to be the thing that causes us to want to be friendly to the person that we don't know. All right? So we want them to have that same impact of the Spirit on their life. So we want, if they don't know it, we want to introduce them to that. And we want them to be drawn into a fellowship that's more than superficial, but a fellowship that can go deeper to where we both have a common, not just a common ground that we live in the same town or live in the same county or we do the same thing for an occupation or we have the same number of children or you name it. We want the origin or the foundation of our fellowship to be that we both know the Lord. That's the next level. I want all of us here today to have that kind of fellowship. You know the Lord for yourself. I know the Lord by the grace of God. And I want us to be able to have a fellowship that is anchored on that level. Not just that I know who your parents were or you know who my parents were and we have a little thing in common. That's very superficial to what we want to have happen here. Let's go to John, the 13th chapter, and notice a couple verses there. St. John 13, and I believe we want to read 34 and 35. Jesus speaking here, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So we're talking about fellowship. And how are we going to know, how are others going to know that we have a contact with the Spirit? It's because we have the love of God demonstrating into our reaching out or our contact to them. He says here, this is a new commandment, that you love one another. And that's how other people are going to know that you're my disciples. I want people that would come in our midst to know there's something there. Even if they don't know how to put their finger on it, there's something there. Have you ever come into a situation where you knew something was missing? You just knew, you couldn't hardly tell what it was. There's just something missing here. Maybe it's an element of trust. Maybe it's an element of confidence. I don't know, but there's something missing here. And then sometimes we come in contact with a situation or a setting where everything clicks. I want people that would come here to realize this is more than people just getting together and agreeing. This is something that has a fellowship that's based on the Spirit. Okay? I hope this is not too remedial, but yet it's something that makes sense. I'd like to turn now to 1 John, the first chapter, and notice a few verses here. 1 John, chapter 1, first verse, beginning, says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Some time back, I've been so impressed of the deep personal contact that John had with Jesus. And that's what he's talking about in this first verse. I knew Jesus. I touched him. I was there with him. I heard his voice. I know what it's like to be in his presence. I would recognize him wherever I saw him. He says here, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. He's still talking about Jesus. But that life was demonstrated. The life that had been, that eternal life that was with the Father, and then it was manifested unto us. That I don't know how to say that. I feel like my vocabulary is limiting me to be able to communicate the level of understanding and the grasp that John had here of how Jesus was the very epitome. He was the essence of eternal life. He was the epitome of God being with us. He was God with us. I knew him. It wasn't like it was acquainted. It wasn't that first level of somebody coming in the door and before they can get out, everybody speaks to them type thing. It's more, much, much deeper than that. And he says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I believe this is a real deep fellowship. John, this is an epistle. And it's not just to a particular congregation or church, but this is written to Christianity at large. And John, in his best ability here, in my best ability, I'm telling you that John in his best ability, was telling the people, I knew Jesus. I knew him maybe like no one else ever could know him. And I think we can say that about John. John is the one the other disciples turned to and said, ask him. Find out what Jesus really thinks about something. That's how well John, not that any one of the disciples was more important than the other one, but John had made it a point to be close to Jesus. And he says here, I knew him, probably like no one else knew him. And he said, that which we have seen and heard, declare when I want to communicate to you how important it is to have that kind of relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, for that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you that ye also may have, I'm going to insert a word here, this level of fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The very core of church fellowship is an association with Jesus Christ and the Father, the Spirit, and having the fellowship. If you're not in fellowship with God, then how can you have church fellowship? There's a little level of hey, I work over there at this place, and yeah, I worked there too before. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I had the same supervisor. That's a superficial level of fellowship. Okay? But we're talking about having a level, if that's the only connection that we have with our church fellowship, you know, I think we've missed it. You know, I drive by sometimes and I see these places that say, and I don't mean this as a direct attack on them, because I know what they're trying, many times what they're trying to connect with is this superficial level of fellowship. And we have to start there. All of us have to start there. But you drive a lot of places that says Cowboy Church, Cowboy Junction. Oh, and usually next to the building that they have a service in is a what? There's an arena. And a lot of times people, the part of the fellowship is bringing your horse trailer and they're having a roping event Sunday afternoon. Am I wrong? So that's part of the fellowship. Now, I'm not saying that you can't make connections that way. John here is saying, I want us to have a fellowship that we don't have to rope a sheep or rope a calf to be able to feel like we have something in common, that we can have a confederacy. I want us to have a level of fellowship like I had with Jesus and the Father. You see what I'm talking about? This level of fellowship gets deeper and deeper the more we think about it. And John is saying that we which have seen and heard declare unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. Yes. But that fellowship is more than just we all drive a pickup truck. We all drive a whatever. You see, we could have a pickup church, couldn't we? We could do something like that, but it needs to be deeper than that. If that's the depth, if that is as deep as our fellowship goes, how easy would that be to dissolve? It'd be pretty easy, wouldn't it? Just quit bringing your horse to church. Quit bringing your truck to church. Well, I don't know. But whatever it might be there. But he says here, I want your fellowship to go all the way down into where you have a fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, if we have a fellowship with the Father, and we have a fellowship, and we have fellowship with the Son, then when we get together, it won't matter whether you drive a Toyota or a Chevrolet. We can still have fellowship. And it won't matter if you drove your pickup truck or you drove your go-to-town car to church. It won't matter. We can have a fellowship because our fellowship is based on something that's much deeper than a superficial thing. It doesn't matter whether you work at Leggett and Platt or you're self-employed. It don't matter. We can have a fellowship that's deeper than that. It doesn't matter if we have a job or we're unemployed. We can have a fellowship that goes beyond that. And that's what John was talking about here. The very core or the root of our church fellowship should be association with the Father and with the Son. A fellowship, this is going to be a statement, that's not that, is not the true church. It's just not. You see what I'm saying? If we don't have a fellowship that ultimately is based on all of us having a personal fellowship with the Father and the Son, we don't really have truth to offer. If the depth of our fellowship is that we can all ride and we can all rope, there's fellowships out there that's based on motorcycles. No. There's all kinds of fellowship. I remember when I went for my interview with the first job I had in Veneta, the fellow that owned the place, a Chevrolet dealership, he looked me over, and his perception was that I was big enough and strong enough to do the job. Well, it was so superficial. He had no depth of understanding of who I was. I didn't even know who I was then, but maybe I don't now either. But anyway, it was such a superficial thing. Let's go to Matthew. And this verse I'm going to read is in at least three of the Gospels. But I'd like to go to Matthew, the 17th chapter. And notice the fifth verse. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 5. It says, "While he spake, behold, a great cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." What does that tell us? That tells me that Jesus and the Father were in full fellowship, in full agreement. You know, when we have a fellow, when all of us here individually have a fellowship with the Father and the Son, we can trust that that fellowship will lead us to a place that the superficial fellowships of being pleasant, of being agreeable, of being willing to reach out to the stranger, and all of that is, and sometimes we call it second nature. I don't know why we come up with that. It's just, it's a natural phenomenon that happens. If you take someone that really has a fellowship with with the Father and the Son. How hard is it going to be for them to get along with somebody when you're trying to fix a meal for all day meeting? Is it going to be hard to get along? It's not. How long is it going to be? How hard is it going to be for those that have true fellowship with the Father and the Son to get along on a work day? Should it be difficult? You're going to be looking for a place to agree. You're going to be willing to share your thoughts. Well, I wouldn't put any sugar in the beans. And somebody says, well, why not? That's the way we always do it. Well, and you can talk about it. If you got fellowship, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here. When we have a fellowship with the Father and the Son, and it's that depth of fellowship, then being able to discuss matters and get along with one another, it is going to be something that is, it's not going to be difficult. There may be some challenges along the way, and we may come from two totally different perspectives. And just to be clear, I don't think you ought to put brown sugar in your carrots. But I know there's people that do. That's just the perspective I come from. But if you serve me carrots that taste sweet, I'm going to do my best to eat them. I'm not going to say yuck, and I'm not going to say somebody needs to teach you how to fix carrots. That's not what I'm going to do. Why? Because by the grace of God, I'm in fellowship with the Father. I hope this makes sense and you can see the different levels of fellowship. And we want our church fellowship here to be something that's based. Oh, I want to get along with everybody and I want you to speak nice to me and I want to speak nice to you. And I want us to be able to want to be together. And I want others to want to be with us. And if they come in on level one, if you want to call it that, so be it. I want them to be here and enjoy level one long enough that they want to go to the next level. And I want them to enjoy that to the point they want to go to the next level. And then I want that to repeat itself. That's how things progress. But I'm going to tell you, if we don't have this depth of fellowship, to work, just like God said, this was God speaking to the public here, and He said, this is my Son, hear Him. There was a level of fellowship there that whatever Jesus said, God could have said amen to. I believe the Lord, we can have a level of fellowship with God and with the Son to where I can trust, and you can trust me, and we can trust one another, and the superficial things that seem so important. You know how it is. Little children get their feelings hurt and somebody didn't share with them or whatever. It's just because their fellowship is superficial. And as they get older, we want them to get a deeper fellowship. Lord, help us. And we'll probably stop right there this morning. Fellowship is something that on the surface it looks like just a friendly, let's get along. But I want to tell you there's something about church fellowship that needs to go all the way to the bone. It needs to go all the way to the innermost part of our spiritual man to where, well, think of the song that says, my heart says amen. Think of that. Not just, well, that sounds pretty good for today. No, I want my fellowship to be, my heart says amen to thy will. I want my fellowship to be that deep with the Lord. And I want my fellowship to be at that level with you all too. I want it to be where I know the Lord can show you just like he showed me. And I have confidence that he will show you just like he showed me. You pray for me.